Boo. We need to come up with a plan in case he finds you.
I think he already did.
Aru watched in horror as a black line broke the sky, as if someone had unzipped twilight to show nighttime lurking just beneath its skin.
We have to get out of here, she screamed.
Minnie shoved the sprig of youth into her backpack and grabbed Boo out of the air.
Remember how to access the other world, hissed Boo. Reach for the light, look but not look, and touch the second...
But the rest of his words were drowned out as a gust of wind blew them backward. Aru would have slammed against the salon door if Minnie hadn't caught her arm. Together, they touched the second key symbol on the side of their hands. The wind howled. Aru could feel that familiar strand of light just out of sight. But something else caught her attention. A dark shape started emerging from the concrete of the parking lot. A massive form of twisted ink and ice. And with it came laughter. The hairs on the back of Aru's neck rose. She knew that laugh. It was the same one she'd heard when she lit the lamp. A slick of ice spread from the places the sleeper had stepped, crusting everything in his wake. A powerful ache went through Aru. Every frozen thing, leaf, rock, and human, reminded her of one person. Mom. Hanuman had assured her that her mother wasn't in any pain. But how much longer would it stay that way? On the center of Aru's palm, the number 8 was already beginning to change form. She was running out of time. And now the sleeper had found them.
Aru! Shouted Minnie. Hurry!
Minnie was a couple feet away from her, and standing half in, half out of a cut of light. She extended her hand, and Aru raced to grab it. Her fingers brushed Minnie's, and that familiar pull of the other world tugged at Aru. But then it snapped. Something had caught her. She couldn't step forward.
Come on, Aru! Screeched Boo.
Aru heaved. Something was squeezing her. She gasped and choked. Darkness squiggled at the corners of her vision. A black snake tail encircled her waist. She was trapped.
I can't, she spat out.
Minnie tugged her arm, trying to pull her into the portal. As Aru heaved and strained, she heard a voice at her ear.
Just like your mother, aren't you, Aru? Slippery and deceitful.
Wings flapped against her face.
Get off! 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 Shouted Boo.
He pecked violently at the sleeper's coils until they shuddered, loosening just enough to let Aru grab the golden ball from her pocket. It was now a dull gold, not blindingly shining like it had been against Brahmasutra.
Do something!
She roared at the orb, all her panic focused like a laser. She imagined it lighting up, becoming a sword, turning into a snake made of light, anything that would get her out of here. Light exploded, and the snake coils fell away from her. Aru leaped for the portal. The sleeper's angry screams chased her as she fell through. Finally, she landed on her butt, which hurt way more than it should have, because she didn't have a lot of built-in cushioning, in the middle of a forest. Through the still open seam, a man's arm reached out, swiping left and right as his hand grabbed for them. Minnie started beating the hand with the sprig of youth and shouting,
I, smack, do, smack, not, smack, like, smack, you.
This didn't sound like very fierce smack talk to Aru, but considering that it was coming from Minnie, it was about as violent as it would get. With a final smack, the arm reared back. Boo flew through the gap of the portal, pecking at the line of light as if he were zipping it back up. After a final flash, the portal, and the hand, disappeared completely. When Aru opened her palm, the ball returned. Boo fluttered to the ground, his wings drooping in exhaustion. Aru scooped him up and hugged him. "Thank you," she said.
"No touchy," huffed Boo.
But he didn't move away from her. "That was the sleeper, right?" asked Aru. There was no mistaking that voice or that laugh. Guilt needled her. She had let him out into the world. "He knew where we were," said Minnie, clutching her backpack. "And now he knows where the second key is." Boo fluttered away from Aru.
"No, he doesn't. I changed the portal location at the last minute to hide our whereabouts."
They were surrounded by wilderness. Aru didn't see a single other person. Wherever Boo had taken them was not in the same time zone as the salon, because it was still daytime. Not that there was much sunlight. Overhead, solemn oak trees drank up most of it, so that little was left to illuminate the cocoa-dark forest floor.
"You are safe, but not for long," said Boo. "The sleeper will be watching for any signs of magic. We need additional protection to get you to the night bazaar, where the second key lies."
"Protection? Like travel insurance?" asked Minnie.
"What is that?" asked Boo. "You know what? Forget I asked."
"We could ask the gods for some help," suggested Aru. "They weren't just going to leave us with a ball and a mirror, right?" Aru felt silly for hoping their soul dads would care more. But it didn't stop her from looking at the sky, wondering if she might see a message spelled out in lightning. Just for her.
"I told you, they will not meddle in human affairs."
"What about demigod affairs?" asked Aru.
"No meddling. It is their rule."
"So who is going to help us?" Boo seemed lost in thought for several moments. He circled the ground, then tottered over to a small anthill beside a log. He stared at it.
"I think I might know someone who would be very interested in meeting you," he said slowly. "Now, if I could only find him. Hmm. Ah, wait! There, see that?"
He was pointing at the dirt. Aru and Minnie exchanged nervous looks. Minnie made a little swirling sign of "he's lost it" next to her head. Boo glared at them.
"No. Look!"
Aru moved closer and saw a slender line of ants leading away from the log and over a pile of leaves.
"We must follow the ants," said Boo.
"Yep," said Aru to Minnie. "He's lost it."
"We follow the ants because all ants go back to Valmiki."
"Valmiki? He's alive?" asked Minnie, shocked. "But he was alive thousands of years ago."
"So were you," said Boo curtly.
"Who's Valmiki?"
asked Aru. The name sounded familiar, but she couldn't quite place it.
"The Sage of Learning," said Minnie. "He's the one who wrote the Ramayana."
Aside from the Mahabharata, the Ramayana was the other ancient epic poem that lots of Indians knew. It told the story of Rama, one of the reincarnations of the god Vishnu, who fought a 10-headed demon to rescue his wife. Aru's mother had collected some art depicting Rama's adventures, and now Aru recalled an image of a sage sitting on an anthill. She also recalled something else about him.
"Wasn't Valmiki a murderer?"
"Well, he started out as one," said Minnie. "Even if you murder only once, you're still a murderer."
"He changed," said Boo.
For many years, Valmiki sat and chanted the word Mara, which means kill. But his chant changed over time and became Rama, another name of the god.
And then a bunch of ants swarmed around him, and that's how he got his name,
chimed in Minnie.
In Sanskrit, it means born of an anthill.
Aru wasn't sure that people could really change. On many occasions, her mother had promised that things would be different. Sometimes she kept her word for as long as 6 days. For those days, Aru would be walked to school, fed a non-bland dinner, and even spoken to about something other than her mother's newest museum acquisition. But things always went back to normal in the end. Still, having that mom was better than having a frozen mom.
Aru swallowed her urge to cry. What were they doing here? They needed to get those celestial weapons, and soon.
People can change, added Boo.
His eyes looked very knowing in that moment, as if he'd read her mind. It didn't escape Aru that Boo sounded a little defensive.
Okay, if you say so. But why do we have to meet this guy? Asked Aru.
Valmiki's very wise, said Boo. He's gathered all kinds of mantras, sacred words that will help you. But be warned, he's still awful.
Why? Asked Aru, shocked. Because he was a murderer?
Worse, said Boo. He's a...
His voice dropped.
A writer.
He shook his head in disgust. Boo and Minnie started marching forward. Well, Minnie marched while Boo rode on her shoulder, following the trail of ants. The ground was dark, and finding the insects was like trying to pick pepper off a black cloth.
I can't see the ants anymore, Minnie said. Use your phone light, said Aru. Can't, said Minnie. It died before you guys even came to get me. Don't you have one?
Aru grumbled.
No, Mom won't let me have one until next year.
I can see perfectly well, said Boo, picking his way carefully through the grass.
This was probably the one time a pigeon's sidekick was useful. Ahead were several skinny trees. Between them stood a tannish boulder that Aru was quite certain hadn't been there when they were farther away. Boo walked up to the thing and pecked it twice.
Valmiki, we are in need of your assistance.
Was it Aru's imagination, or did the boulder shift a bit?
Oh, come out of there!
Aru looked a little closer. What had seemed like a boulder was actually a giant anthill. She shook each of her feet, shivering a little. What if the ants were crawling on her right now? The insects on the hill began to move quickly back and forth, forming lines that eventually spelled out words. Unless your life you want to curse, the time is nigh to speak in verse.
13. The Hipster in the Anthill.
Oh no, said Boo.
What is it? Asked Aru.
I hate poems that rhyme.
The ants rearranged themselves into a new message from Valmiki.
If that is true, then I hate you. Poets are so dramatic, said Boo.
Oh, Lord of Learning, said Minnie timidly. We are yearning for your protection, so to speak. If you talk to us, we will be very meek. We have a magic key, you see. And even if you hate Boo, I hope you don't hate me. We really don't want to die. This is not a lie. Help us, please, so that we can get the other keys.
Aru's eyebrows shot up her forehead. She would never have been able to come up with a rhyme,
It would have taken too much time. The anthill paused, pondering. Your rhymes leave much to be desired, but perhaps I know what is required. Cracks started showing in the anthill. Gradually it fractured like thin ice on a pond, and a head emerged. One bright brown eye peered at them. Another blinked open. Then the anthill split in half to reveal an elderly gentleman sitting cross-legged on the ground. His gray-streaked black hair was in a topknot, and he wore a pair of tinted glasses and sported a trim beard. His shirt said, "I'm not a hipster." He reached for a mason jar that appeared out of thin air. The orangish drink caught the light.
"I would offer you some turmeric tea, but you disturbed me at my apogee. I am trying to write a book, you know, something about 50 pages or so, but I can't think of how to start the tale. Perhaps with people on a forest trail?
Or you could be super annoying and have it start with them waking up," suggested Aru. Minnie frowned at her. "We need some protection," Aru went on. "It's urgent and..."
"You must convey it in rhyme, or I won't give you my time," said Valmiki mildly.
Out of nowhere, a typewriter materialized. He began to type furiously. Aru thought it best not to point out that there was no paper in it. Was it just for show? It seemed strange to announce, "Look at me, I'm writing." But then again, writers were quite strange.
"Be more like your sister," scolded Boo.
Aru had a feeling this would not be the last time she heard that phrase. She pinched Boo's beak shut, much to his annoyance. To be honest, she was more impressed than envious when it came to Minnie's knack for rhyming. The only way she could have helped was if Valmiki liked beatnik poetry. They just studied that unit in English class, so Aru could snap her fingers in rhythm and start shouting about neon fruit supermarkets. But she didn't think that would be helpful here.
"We got the sprig of youth from a demon," said Minnie. "But now we need armor from the..."
Minnie paused to look at Boo.
"Seasons," he mouthed.
"Seasons?" Valmiki raised an eyebrow as if to say, "You're stretching the definition of rhyme, but then you are on an urgent deadline." Minnie hurried on.
"Boo said you could protect us from evil. We hope he wasn't being... deceitful?"
Valmiki leaned back against the anthill and stroked his beard slowly. There are two ways to stroke one's beard.
"There is the villainous, I am devastating but also fond of my beard texture caress. And then there is the pondering, does this beard make me look devastating rub?" Valmiki's was the latter.
"To learn the right thing to say, there is a price you must pay."
Minnie opened up her backpack and held it out.
"I have no cash, as you can see," said Minnie. "Perhaps Aru could pay the fee?"
Aru patted her pockets. "I've got nothing," she said, before remembering it was supposed to be a rhyme and adding,
"Two.
How about taking Boo?"
"I'm not for sale."
Aru sighed. "Another fail." Hey, that rhymed.
"I don't want anything you have to sell. I want the stories you could help me tell."
Valmiki leaned over his typewriter and tented his fingers.
"This is a new age of epics, you see," said the sage poet. "And I have two Pandavas before me. We have all the legends and poems of yore, but it's time we offered readers some more. Promise to give me one day of your life, and I will grant you the gift of less strife."
So Valmiki wanted to write their biographies?
Yes, please. That sounded amazing.
Aru was already brainstorming titles for hers.
The Legend of Aru. The Chronicles of Aru. The...
Aru?
Asked Minnie.
On this man's terms, can you agree?
There is little downside that I can see.
Oh, right. The Chronicles of Aru and Minnie.
Wait, said Boo.
Don't give your life rights away for free. The day has to be mundane, Valmiki. And day is a mortal's 24 hours. Comply or else you'll face the gods' powers.
Aru hadn't even thought of that. This was officially the second time she was happy to have a pigeon guardian.
Valmiki shrugged, but he looked a little disgruntled.
You cannot rush a writer's art. And here you thought you were so smart, said Boo smugly.
Good thing Boo answered, because the only thing Aru could think of that rhymed with art was fart. And that's not a word you want to throw around when you're talking to a legendary sage poet.
So, my friends, tell me, do we have a deal?
Asked Valmiki.
A nod is a sufficient way to seal. I will come and claim my payment one day. Until then, Pandavas, go forth and slay.
Aru grinned, nodding so fast she thought her head might fall off. Minnie, as usual, was more thoughtful. She watched Valmiki for a long while before finally nodding. Valmiki smiled.
This rhyme won't save your life, which is a light, but it will surely hide you both from sight. Say it once, be sure not to miss a beat, or you will risk becoming monster meat. Now repeat after me, little heroes, for I'd rather you not become zeros.
Minnie and Aru leaned closer.
Don't look, don't see. There's no such thing as me, said Valmiki.
The words wound through Aru, powerful enough that she imagined she could see them floating around her. Before they could thank Valmiki, he sank back into the anthill and it closed up around him.
Now that you have the mantra, said Boo, let's try again to reach the second key's location. The sleeper shouldn't be able to find you this time.
Shouldn't, but not won't. Aru steeled herself, and she and Minnie spoke the words aloud. Don't look, don't see. There's no such thing as me.
Up to now, Aru had never given much thought to how a word or sentence might taste. Sometimes when she said something mean, there was a bitter aftertaste. But when she spoke Valmiki's mantra, she felt magic on her tongue, like fizzing Pop Rocks candy. The last thing Aru saw before she touched the second key symbol on her Mendi map were some new words on the boulder. The poetry ants had spelled out what looked to be the very bad first draft of an epic poem. Then again, all first drafts are miserable.
It was a dark and stormy night when Girls with Pigeon did take flight to stop the sleeper in his quest to wake Lord Shiva from his rest. 14. A Trip to the Grocery Store. Something touched Aru as she was flung through the other world. Claws scraping lightly against her. Aru didn't feel safe. She had the prickly neck sensation that someone was watching her. She looked down and saw something that nearly froze her blood. The end coil of a thick black tail that was studded with stars. It slithered over her feet. All the while she murmured, "Don't look, don't see. There's no such thing as me." The whole thing lasted maybe a minute. All the while, Aru heard the sleeper's voice in her head. just like your mother, slippery and deceitful.
How could the sleeper possibly have known her mom?
Did that mean Minnie's mom was a hero too?
Not for the first or last time. Aru wondered why all this had been kept from her. How come Minnie got to know and she didn't?
Light broke over her.
Aru looked around to see that she was standing in another parking lot. Minnie and Boo were there too. She couldn't tell what city they were in, but it was a little warmer than the last place. Here, autumn gilded the world. The sky was bright, and the clouds seemed closer, as if they were weighed down by unspent rain.
"Why do we always end up in parking lots?" asked Minnie.
"Better than in the middle of a road," said Boo.
They were standing in front of a Costco. Bright red grocery carts were lined up next to bales of hay. The trees burned scarlet and saffron, so vivid they looked as if someone had covered each leaf with gold foil.
Aru's palm itched. She glanced at her hand. The number 8 had disappeared, replaced by a new, shining mark.
"What the heck does that mean?" asked Aru.
"Please tell me the universe feels bad for us, and it's Sanskrit for treat yourself to a demonless day, and not the number 3, which it kinda looks like."
Minnie examined Aru's hand.
"It's not the number 3.
"Yay!
It's the number 6.
"What?"
"Sauce.
6, read Minnie. She frowned and turned to Boo.
"But yesterday our map said we had 8 days left. What happened?"
Boo shook out his wings.
"Traveling through the other world requires a cost. Time does not always adhere to mortal standards."
"But that means I've been awake for 72 hours, squeaked Minnie. "I should be dead. Am I dead?"
Aru pinched her.
"Ow!"
"Nope. Alive and kicking." Minnie rubbed her arm and glared.
"You're Pandavas," said Boo. "You need less sleep and food than mortals. But occasionally you do need something to keep your strength up. We'll get some snacks inside."
"Inside the Costco?" asked Aru. Not that she had a problem with this. On the contrary, an industrial-sized box of Oreos was just what she needed.
"That's not an ordinary Costco," said Boo proudly. "For otherworld folks, it becomes a different store depending on who you are and what you need. For us, it will be the Night Bazaar. Inside, we'll find the seasons and ask them to design you some weaponry. After that, we'll look for the second key."
Aru dearly hoped the second key would be located next to an industrial-sized box of Oreos. But all thoughts of Oreos quickly vanished with Minnie's next words.
"I'll go anywhere as long as we don't run into the sleeper again. Did you see him when we left Valmiki?" she asked. "He was right next to me. I could have sworn he wanted something. He even touched me."
She shuddered. "At least I think it was him. It was just a giant snake tail. But it felt like him."
"Did the sleeper say anything to you?" asked Aru.
Minnie frowned.
"No. How about to you?"
Aru stilled.
"Earlier, the last time we tried to get to wherever this is, he spoke in my mind and compared me to my mom. Called me deceitful like her. It was so weird."
Boo looked as if he was trying to make himself smaller on top of Minnie's head.
"Do you know anything about this, Boo?" asked Aru.
"Me? No, not a thing," he squawked. "Come along."
"If he figured out where we were last time, and he can find us when we're traveling between places, he can probably do it again, even if we have the mantra to cover our tracks," said Minnie. "What do we do if the sleeper catches up to us?"
run faster than the other person, said Boo.
And with that, he flew off toward the entrance to Costco.
Aru was about to make a joke to Minnie, but she had turned on her heel and was jogging into the jungle of parked cars and abandoned shopping carts.
Hey, Minnie! There you are! Shouted Aru.
Aru had circled Costco parking lot section A twice before she saw her. Minnie was curled up on the hood of a minivan that boasted, "My child is an honors student." When Aru walked up to her, Minnie didn't turn her head. She just kept tracing the Sanskrit symbol on her left palm.
"You're going to leave me behind, aren't you?" asked Minnie softly.
"What? Why do you think that?"
"I'm not as good as you are at this. I wasn't even supposed to be going on any quests or anything. The first time my mom ever took me to the other world, I threw up. The threshold guardians didn't even let me past."
"That's better than me," said Aru. "My mom never even took me to the other world. At least your mom told you about all this stuff."
"She had to," sniffed Minnie. "She's a Panchkanya."
"What's that?" asked Aru. She could break down what the words meant, but it didn't help her understand.
Panch, five. Kanya, woman. "It's the sisterhood mom's always talking about. Five women who are reincarnations of legendary queens from the ancient stories. These days, their job is to raise and protect us."
"So my mom is part of this sisterhood?" asked Aru.
"I guess," said Minnie a little rudely.
Aru knew why Minnie's tone had changed. They had started off talking about Minnie's feelings, and now they were back to talking about Aru. But Aru couldn't help herself. There was so much she didn't know. And so much she wanted to know.
"Do you know who the other women are? Do they talk on the phone? Have you met the other Pandavas? Are they all girls our age?"
Minnie shook her head.
"Sorry."
Then her eyes narrowed.
"Why? Do you wish you had a different Pandava with you instead of me?"
"I'm not saying that."
"You're not saying that," said Minnie.
"But it's fine.
I'm used to it. Second choice for everything. I'm always getting left behind."
"Is this about what Boo said? That the slowest one of us is going to get caught by the sleeper?" She nodded, sniffling.
"Boo was just being Boo. He's a pigeon."
As if being a pigeon explained a lot of nasty behavior. But in Boo's case, the observation rang true.
"I just don't want to be left behind."
Her eyes welled with tears.
"It happens to me all the time, and I hate it."
"Did you get chased by a monster with someone else?" Minnie laughed, but because she was crying, it sounded like a wet hiccup. Aru scooted away a little. The last thing she wanted on her was snot. She was already covered in monster ashes.
"No," said Minnie, when she had finished snort-laugh-hiccuping. "You don't know what it's like. You're probably popular at school. I bet you're good at everything. You've never even been to the other world before, and you fought Brahmasura better than me. I bet at school you don't get called the tattletale, and you've probably never shown up at a birthday party to find no one is there because they put the wrong date on your invitation. People wouldn't avoid you."
Aru tried not to wince. She had to admit that being a tattletale was the worst thing you could be at school. No one would tell you anything.
"Have you ever done anything you regretted?" asked Minnie.
Aru didn't meet her eyes. She could have told the truth about a lot of things. That she wasn't popular. That she did know how it felt to be on the outside. That her best talent wasn't defeating monsters. It was pretending. For a moment,
Aru even wanted to tell her the truth about what happened with the lamp. How it hadn't been an accident at all, but something she'd done on purpose, just to impress people who probably weren't worth impressing anyway. But she couldn't. It felt nice to be considered more than what she was for a change. So she asked a different question.
If you could go back in time and untattletale on someone, would you?
Minnie looked up.
No, Dennis Connor was about to cut Matilda's hair.
So? Why stick your nose into it? That kind of thing happened at school all the time. Aru just let it be. It wasn't her business or her fight.
Minnie sighed. Matilda had to leave school last year because she got sick, and when she got chemo, she went bald. Her hair has only just started to grow back. If Dennis had cut it, she would have been really sad.
See, said Aru, you did a good thing. Plus, Dennis has two first names. He was asking to get in trouble.
Minnie laughed.
So you're not a tattletale. You're just honorable. Like a knight. Knights always rescue people.
Minnie raised her palm. The sauce symbol still looked like a backward three.
What about when knights aren't strong enough?
Even when they fail, they're still knights, said Aru.
Now come on. Boo said this was a special kind of otherworldly Costco, and I want to see if their toilet paper floats.
Maybe they have special otherworld Costco things, like bulk bags of wishes or dragon teeth or something. We can pick some up as soon as we get that second key.
What is it again? A bite of adulthood?
This seemed to perk up Minnie. She nodded.
Still have the first key? Asked Aru.
Minnie patted her backpack.
Right here, still wrapped in your Kleenex.
Handkerchief.
Uh-huh.
Let's go, Sir Minnie.
Like at every Costco Aru had been to, lots of customers were walking in and out. But here the people changed as soon as they crossed the threshold. For example, one woman pushing a cart toward the entrance looked like any woman you'd see on the street. Sensible shoes, sensible hair, sensible outfit. The minute she stepped over the mat that said, "Welcome to Costco," she was suddenly covered in golden feathers, like a giant bird. And her feathers were edged in flames. Little embers sparked and burned, falling onto the pavement and sputtering like a blown-out candle. Another family was getting their receipt checked at the door before exiting. On the other side of the mat, they looked like humans from the waist up, but from the waist down, they were snakes. The moment they crossed the mat, they were all human. The snake boy winked at Minnie. She walked into a telephone pole.
You are the daughter of death, hissed Aru. You don't walk into a telephone pole because of a boy.
I didn't. I tripped. It wasn't because, you know, it's not because he did the thing with his mouth where it went up and his teeth showed.
You mean when he smiled?
Yeah, said Minnie, rubbing furiously at her bright red cheeks. That!
Boo glared at them from the top of a grocery cart.
What took you so long? I almost started aging.
You don't age? Asked Aru.
If you do, you can use the sprig of youth, offered Minnie. Not sure how it works, though. Do we just hit you with it?
Boo flew to Aru's shoulder and then poked his head out from underneath her hair.
You shall do no such thing, fiendish girl.
I was only offering to help, said Minnie, crossing her arms.
Well, stop offering before you get one of us killed, said Boo. Now, before you go into the Costco, remember that it won't become the night bazaar until you stop looking so hard.
Aru blinked.
What does that mean?
It means go to the frozen food aisle and start counting all the breakfast items. That should be enough to make your mind detach itself from reality and drift off. Or you could do algebra, or read James Joyce's Finnegan's Wake. That's my go-to.
That sounds dangerous, started Minnie.
But with one glare from Aru, she took a deep breath.
But I am the daughter of death, and so that sounds like something I should like?
Aru grinned. The moment they walked inside, Aru was hit with that musty industrial smell of supermarket. Why was everything made of concrete here? And it was so cold.
Even if it was the middle of summer and so blazing hot outside that the road was melting, supermarkets were always freezing. Aru wished she'd brought a sweatshirt with her. On her shoulder, Boo had made a strange nest for himself out of her hair, and was now peering out of the hair-turned shawl like an angry grandmother.
Not that way. That leads to the electronics. Too many bright, shiny things.
There were tons of people walking around them. Moms and dads and kids with those weird sneakers that had wheels on the bottom. There were all kinds of people, too. White, black, Hispanic, Asian, tall, short, fat, skinny. Not all appeared human, either. Some of them were feathered or furred, fanged or feline.
Aru's eyes widened.
Are they all like us?
Dense as bricks, offered Boo.
No, like
scrawny heroes,
Boo guessed again.
Ugh. I don't know what an ugh is, but probably not, said Boo smugly. But if you are asking whether they all have a connection to an other world, yes.
Like ours?
Like theirs, said Boo. Whatever their version of the other world happens to be. But let's not get into the question of metaphysics. Many things can coexist. Several gods can live in one universe. It's like fingers on a hand. They're all different, but still part of a hand.
They passed a display of potted trees. Apple trees with glistening fruit the color of pearls. Pear trees with fruit that looked like hammered gold. There was even a giant Christmas tree, sparkling with the flames of 100 candles nestled on its branches. Aru watched as a red-headed girl reached for the Christmas tree. The girl giggled, and right in front of Aru, stepped into the tree. The tree gave a contented little shake, but no sooner had she settled into the tree than a tall woman with long strawberry blonde hair started knocking on the trunk.
Come out of there now, she said.
She had an accent.
Irish? I swear on the Dagda, I'll...
The woman yanked on one of the pine branches, pulling it like an ear, and hoisted the girl out of the tree. The girl looked very unhappy.
Every time, said the woman, who appeared to be the girl's mother. This is why you're not allowed in parks. Maeve, my goodness, when your father learns that you...
But Aru couldn't hear the rest of the scolding, because the two of them turned and hurried away down an aisle marked Laundry Supplies.
All these otherworldly people come here? To a Costco? Asked Minnie.
Boo winked.
Who says it looks like a Costco to them? Who says they are even in the United States? The world has many faces, children. It's only showing you one at a time. Now hurry. Time will move even faster here, and you still need armor and the second key.
And a snack? Added Aru hopefully.
Yes, fine. One snack.
15. Why are all enchanted things so rude? The three of them stopped at the wide aisle of frozen foods and started taking inventory. Black bean soup, lunch rolls, pizzas, bagels, pizza bagels, tripe, codfish,
Catfish? I can't believe it's not fish. Gross.
Aru waited for her perception to change, for magic to prickle on the outside of her vision like television static. But she didn't feel any different, and her hopes of seeing any magical toilet paper were quickly fading.
So this is where every otherworldly person does their shopping? Asked Minnie.
And weapons perusing, apparently, said Aru. Not to mention key to the kingdom of death browsing.
In all of Aru's previous grocery shopping, she never once picked up a gallon of milk and then wandered over to an aisle labeled sharp, deadly things. Unfortunately.
The Night Bazaar has had to adapt, change form, and account for things like families moving to new countries and imaginations evolving, explained Boo.
So what did it used to look? Aru started.
Just read the items, said Boo, irritated.
Minnie yawned.
Fine. More pizza rolls. Why do there need to be so many different brands of pizza rolls? Peanut butter sandwiches. Frozen salmon.
She stopped.
Did you know you can get E. coli from salmon? It can kill you.
Aru, who was shivering from all the refrigeration, scowled.
Anything and everything can kill you, Minnie. You don't need to point it out all the time.
Minnie straightened her shoulders.
My mother always says that knowledge is power. I'm just trying to make us more powerful.
And my mother says that ignorance is bliss, said Aru under her breath. Muttering the words made her pause, though. Ignorance hadn't been bliss, not even close. Bliss meant happiness. But here Aru was, not knowing who she was, where she was, or what she was supposed to do next. Had her mother said that because she had chosen to keep Aru in the dark? Maybe her mom had done it to protect her. She did that a lot, even though Aru never understood until days, or even months, later. Like the time her mom had tearfully apologized when no one showed up at Aru's birthday party during third grade. She confessed that she'd accidentally thrown away all the invitations. They spent the day at the movies and had breakfast for dinner instead, which was awesome. But Aru had been furious. It wasn't until a year later that Aru learned the truth from a classmate. None of the invited kids had wanted to come. So her mom had lied to protect Aru's feelings. Aru thought back to Minnie's story about showing up to a birthday party on the wrong date. Minnie had no idea how much they had in common. Minnie started to drone on again about the aisle's offerings.
Frozen waffles, frozen pancakes, frozen stars, frozen wings, frozen...
Wait a sec, started Aru. Minnie's eyes became unfocused.
Frozen prophecies, frozen orreries, frozen gold, frozen lead.
Aru looked around, trying to see signs of magic. Slowly, her vision changed. The supermarket faded. The cement floor transformed to packed earth. The fluorescent ceiling lights stopped flickering. Her bones felt heavy. She grew sleepy. And then it was like dozing off in class. One moment of perfect, heavy-lidded happiness. That was ruined by the sound of a bell. Except it wasn't a bell. It was a loud squawking sound that came from overhead. The warehouse ceiling was gone, and a bird soared in the sky above them. Its wide wings were the color of evening turning into nighttime. Half of the sky was sunlit, half of it was moonlit.
Whoa, breathed Minnie.
It looked as if someone had taken an ancient marketplace and squashed it together with a modern grocery store. Beyond a pane of glass, aisles stretched far ahead in every direction. From what Aru could see, They held a combination of shelves, displays, small shops, and tents. One shop sold strange bolts of silk, whose patterns looked like spun moonbeams and ribbons of rushing water. Next to it was an apple store. There were still metal grocery carts, but they were alive. The metal grills curved up and down like mouths, and an extra set of handles slanted like eyebrows. When someone came near them, tiny spikes of metal rolled up and down the grocery cart like bristling fur. They seemed a bit feral. A couple of them growled. One woman with a snake tail cursed loudly as she wrestled with her cart. Finally, when she took hold of its bright red bar with both hands, it gave in and allowed itself to be steered by the triumphant Naga woman. Three glowing signs hovered in the distance, but Aru couldn't read what they said. When she started walking toward them, she felt a sharp nip on her ear. "Stay in line," said Boo. Only then did Aru realize they were in a long line in front of the entrance to the night bazaar, which glimmered on the other side of a pane of glass.
"This is absurd," said the Naga in front of her.
The snake woman turned to her husband, her cobra hood flaring.
"I'm going to miss my haircut appointment. It took me months to book."
Her husband sighed. As he did, a forked tongue flicked out of his mouth. He rubbed the back of his head and sank lower into the bronze coils of his tail.
"It's a different world, Johnny," he said. "Less safe, less secure. Plus, there's rumors that none of the gods can find their vehicles."
Minnie pulled on Aru's sleeve.
"Did you hear that?"
"Obviously, Minnie, I'm standing right here." Minnie blushed.
"Do you think they know about the sl—"
Before she could finish, Boo pecked her hand. The warning on his face was clear. "Don't say his name."
"Do you know who?"
she whispered.
"He's not Voldemort." "Well, I don't know what else to call him."
Aru knew better than to mention the sleeper in the night bazaar. It would probably be the equivalent of shouting fire in a theater. Everyone here was clearly on guard. A frantic kind of energy was coming off the crowd, as if they were all waiting for something to go terribly wrong. Aru even caught a couple of muffled conversations.
"The world is simply stopping. Whole groups of people and neighborhoods just utterly frozen. But the pattern makes no sense. Some place in the southeastern United States. Another in a strip mall in the Midwest?"
"I'm sure there's a good reason."
"The mortals are befuddled."
Aru tried to shrink. If anyone looked at her, would they see her guilt? All she'd done was light a lamp that everyone thought was going to get lit anyway. Just maybe not so soon. It felt almost cartoonish, like someone throwing a tiny snowball at a mountain and causing an avalanche. The line moved quickly. Within minutes, the three of them were standing before a muscular man with the head of a bull. Aru recognized this type of otherworld person from the paintings in the museum. He was a Raksha. Aru almost panicked. But not all demons were bad. It was one of the things she liked best when her mother told her the stories. Villains could be heroic, and heroes could do evil. "Makes you wonder who the villains really are," her mother used to say. "Everyone has a bit of good and bad in them." The Raksha regarded them with bored black eyes.
"Empty your pockets, please. Take off anything remotely enchanted and place it in the bins at your left."
A couple of crystal baskets floated to the left of them. On the right was a conveyor belt that looked like it was made from molten gold. Straight ahead curved a sparkling archway that reminded Aru of the body scanners at airports.
"If you happen to be carrying a miniature universe, please place it in one of the baskets on the right. If it is unregistered, A devourer of worlds will eliminate it. If you would like to make a complaint, don't bother. And if you are a cursed being or under an enchanted form, please notify me prior to stepping through security.
Minnie was the first to go through. She placed the compact in one of the glass baskets. She was about to walk through when the Raksha raised a hand.
Backpack, he said.
Minnie handed it over. She was sweating and pale-faced.
Whatever's in there isn't mine, she said. It's my brother's.
That's what they all say,
the Raksha said, sifting through the contents. He shook it upside down over the counter. Out spilled a sleeve of Oreos.
Aru felt an indignant flare of, you had those the whole time, feelings.
A first aid kit, a roll of gauze, a bunch of Boy Scout keychains, which made Aru raise her eyebrow, and the wrapped sprig of youth. The Raksha scanned them with his eyes as he listened to someone talking in his earpiece. Then he pressed a small button on the lapel of his jacket and muttered,
copy that. No sign of the godly mounts.
He swiped the contents back into Minnie's backpack and handed it to her.
Next.
Boo fluttered to his shoulder and whispered in his ear. The Raksha's eyes widened for a moment.
Sorry to hear that, mate. That's some rough luck. You may proceed.
Boo harumphed and soared through the gate. Next was Aru. She put the golden ping pong ball in the basket and stepped forward, only to have the Raksha stick out his hand.
Shoes off, as per otherworld transportation security guidelines.
She grumbled, took off her shoes and placed them in a bin. She stepped forward, only to have the Raksha stop her. Again.
Miss, are those your feet?
Are you serious?
Does this job look like something that encourages humor?
Aru considered this.
No.
Then yes, I'm inquiring as to whether those are, in fact, your feet. You will notice on the board to your left that any removable body parts, yours or otherwise, must be registered as per otherworld transportation security guidelines.
Dude, these are my feet. It's not like I'm hiding cloven hooves.
Why did you specify cloven hooves?
It's just a joke. That's what we say in Georgia when we don't like someone. And then we add bless your heart after.
The Raksha spoke into his lapel again.
Yep. Copy. Potentially small, unregistered demon.
Then, after listening to his earpiece.
Nope. Unthreatening.
He looked at her.
You may pass.
Aru felt insulted. I can totally be threatening. But now was definitely not the time. She stepped through and glared at the Raksha until he handed back her ball.
Welcome to the Night Bazaar, he said. On behalf of the gods and storytellers around the world, we hope you leave with your life intact and your imagination brimming.
Now that she'd stepped through the archway opening, the Night Bazaar truly unfolded around her. The half-torn sky of day and night glistened. And the smells. Aru wanted to roll around in them forever. It smelled like popcorn dripping with butter, cookie dough ice cream, and fresh-spun cotton candy. She made her way to Minnie and Boo, her head whipping back and forth so fast, trying to see everything. The trees that weren't made of bark at all, but glass. The stores that seemed to literally chase after clientele, that she almost tripped.
It's something else, said Minnie, grinning. And it smells so good. Like a book. Or vanilla.
Aru was about to ask if Minnie's nose was working right, but Minnie kept talking.
Only my brother has seen this place, but I don't think he remembers it.
Your brother? Why? Minnie's face turned as red as a tomato.
They thought he was the Pandava brother, not me.
When did they find out it was actually you? Minnie turned even redder, now looking like a tomato's mutant cousin.
Last week, she said, squeaking on the word week. Pandavas are supposed to sense danger, and sometimes even react to it before they